Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
Today I want to dive a little deeper on how you can walk in all the power and authority of the kingdom in your life. Because what we see in Paul is a demonstration not only of the preaching of the Word, but also of the power of the Holy Spirit. You remember this sorcerer was opposing the message. He was trying to lead the powers of Rome, this proconsular, away from faith. And so Paul, under the authority of the Holy Spirit, simply spoke, "Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see for a time." This was a pronouncement. Has anybody ever done this, by the way? I'm just kind of curiosity. Anybody opposing the gospel, you just reached out and blinded them? This is unique power. The Bible tells us immediately darkness came upon this man and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Now he's helpless. And what we're told is because of this, the proconsul believed. This Roman authority, this man of leadership becomes a believer here in Paul's first missionary journey, almost in the very beginning of it, when he saw what had occurred, he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. And I asked this question at the end of last week. I said, how many of you would like to operate in this kind of power and this kind of authority? That when you preach, if there are any oppositions, you can just do away with them. Now, I don't know about why God chose blindness for this man, probably because he was in the occult. Seems a little harsh. But still, the matter remains that there are keys to the kingdom of God and its power. And God desires us to know what they are. The Apostle Paul said of preaching the gospel, "My speech and my message were not with plausible words of wisdom." Paul didn't put a whole lot of time into oration or being eloquent or using really cool sermon illustrations. What he did was, he preached, told the truth, and then he said there was a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That was Paul. So if we look at what are some of the keys that we can look at walking in this kind of power and authority, the first would have to be, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Paul was led and filled with the Spirit. You cannot do any of this without being led and filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, beginning of the missionary journey, the Bible says, this is Acts 13:4, he was sent out by who? The Holy Spirit. He is under the authority and the offices of the Holy Spirit as he goes. And when he speaks to this sorcerer, this practicer of the occult, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit when he said it. So we see that you cannot just willy-nilly go around using this kind of power and authority. This is definitely under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But do you know that every day you're filled with something? Most of us just fill ourselves with ourselves. Because it takes a lot of effort to get filled with what? To be filled with the Holy Spirit. By default, when you wake up in the morning, you're filled with yourself. And you can go through your life just being filled with yourself every single day, and I don't recommend it. You'll become toxic, and if God loves you, He'll bring you to a state of depression. But you can do that. Or, if you don't want to be filled with yourself, filled with your flesh, have worldly thinking, have worldly desires, it's all about you. If that's not what you want, then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, the Bible tells you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can go from being self-focused to God-focused. What do you think the difference is in being self-focused and God-focused? It's like night and day. The more you focus on yourself, and by the way, go to any clinical psychologist and ask them about these people that are all depressed. And he will tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, they're all self-focused. It's all about them. Everything's about them. They can't get their eyes off them and their problems and this and that and the other thing. You want to be sick, spiritually speaking? Just become self-focused. Because the answers aren't within you. But when you become God-focused, what opens up? Heaven. Answers. The Spirit. Intervention. Angels. You just turn your gaze toward heaven, and now all of a sudden your life dramatically changes. Even in the church. Look at this. This is James talking to Christians in the church. And he recognizes, and by the way, if this fits you, beware. Bitter jealousies. You ever been jealous? You ever been jealous of other people? How about being selfish and having selfish ambitions in your heart? James says, do not boast and be false to the truth. This wisdom does not come down from above, but listen to what he says. It's earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. You're jealous of everybody. Everybody has it better than you do. You want to keep up with the Joneses. You want more and more. You have selfish ambitions. It's all about you. Be careful, because everything that's filling you is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, listen to what he says, there's disorder and every vile practice. Become self-focused. Become consumed on what you want. And all of a sudden, this will begin to happen. On the other hand, as the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine. That is debauchery. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. The emphasis here is be continually filled. Listen, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody to who? To the Lord in your heart. Become God-focused. Giving thanks. What is giving thanks? That's God-focused. You're giving thanks in everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord. And then it says, you're submitting to one another in reverence. You're humble. There's not ambition, there's submission. Big difference between ambition and submission. That's the Spirit of God. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's key number one if you want to walk in this authority. But I want to say number two, you must walk in faith. Do you all know how to walk in faith? I don't think you do. Sometimes I hear people say stuff like, I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. Or I took authority over that in Jesus' name. As if just saying the name Jesus flippantly carried any authority whatsoever. And it does. Matter of fact, it doesn't in a sense, because you probably took it in vain, because what it means to speak in Jesus' name isn't just to utter the words. It is to be in Jesus. It is to be in Christ. It is to be led by His Spirit. It is to be guided. It is to be under His authority. It is to be in obedience. It's far more than just flippantly throwing out His name. Even though His name is greater than any other name, it must not be used in vain. These words were not flippant. He was filled with the Holy Spirit when he said these words to the sorcerer and took authority. It was said of Jesus when he preached, they said, for with authority and power, he commands unclean spirits to come out. He had authority and he had power. And then he says to his disciples, when he called them to him, he gave them power and authority over demons. And over diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. That's part of it. There was a time in which the disciples were given an opportunity to cast the devil out of somebody and they couldn't do it. It's mystifying. Jesus gave them authority to do it, but they couldn't do it. And so they come back to Jesus and they want to know why. Why couldn't we cast this demon out? Jesus had no problem. He cast it out instantly. But they want to know why they couldn't do it. Why they had no authority. Why they had no power. The answer to this question is going to be key to us too. This is the reason why we fail. Maybe they misunderstood what real faith is. Maybe they misunderstood what real authority is. But here's what Jesus says to them. This is the answer to the question why they couldn't walk in power. Listen to what he says. He said to them, because of your little faith. But see, here's where we get mixed up too. We don't really understand what faith is. We don't know what Jesus is saying when he says, you have little faith. We think maybe it was something they could have mustered up. You know, let me muster it up. No, it's not about mustering anything up. Listen, he says this. For truly, I say to you, if you have the faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. They lacked faith, and then he said, now here's where it gets a little tricky. The mustard seed is just a little seed. So he wasn't saying, if you just have a little faith, because he already said they had a little faith. He said they had a real little faith. What he's talking about is the mustard seed is always a symbol of something small, but it's very confident, because a mustard seed, even though it's very small, Jesus said it represents the kingdom in other places. He says you plant it in the ground, it's so small, but it grows really, really big and really, really tall. You just need a little bit of the real faith in order to move a mountain. We'll talk about what real faith looks like, because that's key. And now where I want to take you with this, if you were all Jewish, you would understand what Micah 6:8 was about. In Micah 6:8, God gives the basic requirements. Jesus will call these are the most important laws. These are the weightier laws. They're in Micah 6:8. This is what God requires of us. These are the main requirements. First of all, that there's justice. We are just people. Second is we become lovers of kindness or lovers of mercy. That's what Micah said. The final thing is this, that we walk humbly with God. And why do I bring that up? Because Jesus quotes these verses, but he does so in such a way where he gives clarification. He rebukes the Pharisees for concentrating on little things, and he says you shouldn't have ignored the weightier things like judgment, which is justice, and mercy, which is loving kindness. And then faith is walking humbly with God. Faith is walking humbly with God. Who walked with God, and the Bible says he was not because God took him? Does anybody know? Enoch. The Bible says of Abraham that he walked in faith and therefore became the father of faith. In the book of Hebrews it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. In other words, to walk with God in humility is faith. And this word humility carries a lot of weight. Humility means total reliance and dependence on God. Everywhere I go, I'm not relying on myself. I'm relying on God. I'm totally dependent on Him for everything. And I'm also totally dependent and totally believing the authority of the Word and the authority of the Spirit. There are a lot of people that don't have total faith in God. They have total faith in their faith. And it's a weird dynamic. It's a little bit like people not worshiping God, but worshiping worship. I don't know if you understand this, but when you're walking in faith, you're walking day to day in total dependence, total reliance, total submission. That's where the authority comes from. That's the faith that can move mountains. Jesus said to the Pharisees who didn't understand his authority or power, he says, listen, I have come in my Father's name. And he says, you would reject me if I came in my own name. No, actually, he said, you would accept me if I came in my own name. But because I come in the name of another, you won't receive me. So he goes on to say to them, how can you say you believe? How can you say you have faith? Listen, when you receive glory one from another and do not seek the glory that comes from God. What does this mean? Who am I trying to please right now, this morning? Who do you think I'm trying to please? You? Right. I better not be trying to please you. Because there are ways I can please you. Tell more jokes, tell more interesting stories, be a little bit more eloquent. I can please you that way. But my job isn't to please you. Who am I trying to please? God. If he says to me afterwards, he says, you said what I told you to say. But let me ask you this. Does it take faith to approach it that way? Because what if God told me to do something that you all hated? How would I know that I'm right? What would that require? I heard God. I had faith. See, when we start receiving glory from one another, we figure out how to play the game. What do people like? How do I receive glory from other people? How will they applaud me? How will they say nice things about me? Well, I'll just do that. And I'll receive glory. And Jesus said, how can you say you have faith when you're seeking glory from one another and you're not seeking the glory that comes only from God? That's the walk of faith. Jesus was trying to please one person and one person only. He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything unless his Father did it first. And so if you're going to walk in power and authority, you have to have a relationship with God. It has to be intimate. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe you have to be led by the Spirit, and you'll begin to realize that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I had an encounter that really, I think, and I prayed to the Lord about telling this story. I don't like to tell a lot of stories, but I'll tell this one. I was coming off a fast and some prayer, and I was driving, I was down south, I was driving through North Carolina. Anybody know where Chapel Hill is? Chapel Hill, is that North Carolina? It's North Carolina. Driving through Chapel Hill, and I'm praying, and I'm just having a great old time with the Lord, and I hear the Lord say, "Stop here, I want you to do something for me." So I stop in that town, and I'm listening to the Lord. He says, "I want you to sit on a bench and wait for a man. He will come over to you, and that is the man I want you to talk to. And when he comes and sits down, I'll give you the words to say to him." You ever sat on a bench before? When there's a lot of other empty benches? If you're sitting on a bench by yourself, guess what? If there's other benches, people will sit on other benches. So nobody's going to come. It's a little weird they come sit right next to you and there's a lot of empty benches. So I'm looking around and there's all these empty benches and I'm sitting on one and I'm saying, what are the chances that somebody's going to come and sit here? Well, I was kind of right because an hour goes by, nobody sits on a bench. 2 hours go by, nobody's sitting on a bench. I think 3 hours went by. And at this time, I'm saying, listen, Lord, I'm okay being wrong about this. I really am. I really am. Matter of fact, let's just say I'm wrong and I'll get up and leave and no harm, no foul. And I hear the Lord again, stay. So I'm sitting there. And surely enough, along comes a guy and he sits down. It's got to be the guy. Has to be the guy. And so I'm listening to what the Lord's telling me. And he says, just start a friendly conversation. So I do. And then I start talking about Christianity. Start talking about whether he goes to church or whether he's a Christian, whatever. I eased into it. When I started talking about Christ and Christianity, he got really angry. Really, really angry. And he said to me, "Don't tell me anything about Christianity or about your Christ or anything like that." And I'm like, whoa. You know, just be polite and walk away. I mean, but he's getting angry with me. He says, "Let me tell you about Christianity. Let me tell you about my mom who called up one of these evangelists. And she got prayer with somebody. And then they told her to send the money. So she sends all of the money away to this evangelist. And she dies. So don't be telling me about Christianity." And I'm like, ooh, okay. And so I hear the Lord say, "Put your hand on his shoulder and come against the demonic power that has control of his mind." And I'm like, oh boy, he's already angry. The Lord says, "Put your hand on his shoulder and rebuke this spirit." And I'm thinking, all right, here goes. So I put my hand on his shoulder. I start saying, "In the name of Jesus, I come against this." And I'm thinking to myself as I'm praying, I got my eyes closed. He's still mad. This would be a great time for him to huff and just punch me right in the stomach, you know? And I'm like, oh God, don't let him punch me in the stomach. I said, "Dear Jesus, I just ask you on behalf of this..." And it's silent. And then he starts crying, weeping, and saying, "I need Jesus. I need the Lord. I turn..." And just falls on his knees. And I pray for him. And I get up. Tell him to find a good church. He's like a different guy. And I walk away and I go, all right. That's what it means. To walk in the name of Jesus, to be led of the Spirit, to have the authority of heaven, and we're going to see this authority of heaven, because what Jesus says about having faith to cast out these demons, he says, "You will speak to a mountain in the authority of faith, and it shall be removed." Do you all know what mountains are, biblically speaking? When this terminology is used, it wasn't like a foreign phrase when they said, "Have this mountain be removed." A mountain is an obstacle to anything in God's way. Mountains are obstacles to what God wants to do. When Jesus said, "I say to you, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move and nothing will be impossible." He is talking about something that is an obstacle to what God wants done. If you know it's an obstacle and it's standing in the way, you have the authority as a believer to speak to it and have it removed. It's not a literal mountain, but it is a mountain that stands against God's purposes. It's mountain-moving faith. So, let me take you to one passage that points this out really vividly, and that's found in Zechariah, where it says, very familiar verse of Scripture, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by what? But by my Spirit, says the Lord. You're not going to move things by might or power. You're only going to move things by the Spirit. Listen to what he says here. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become plain. He shall bring forward the top stone and shout grace, grace to it. It's all grace, it's all mercy. But who are you, O mountain, to stand in the way of Zerubbabel? What is Zerubbabel doing? Zerubbabel is building the house of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel that have laid the foundation of this house, his hands shall complete it. The mountain was the obstacle standing in Zerubbabel's way to completing what God had called him to do. Well, that was Zerubbabel, and that was the apostles, and that was Jesus. But are you, little you, can you operate in this kind of a power and authority? Yeah. And if you wanted one proof text that every Christian is called to this, how many believe every Christian is called to be a prayer? How many people believe every Christian is called to be righteous? All right, so to pray and be righteous. Here's what James says. The prayer of a righteous person shall have great power in its working. Here's the example of Elijah. He says, Elijah was a man just like you, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years. And didn't rain. You ever wonder why James picked the most fantastic prophet in the Old Testament with one of the most fantastic miracles ever done and said, oh, you're just like James. I mean, you're just like Elijah. Elijah was just like you. He prayed does this tell you that you're to walk in some sort of power and some sort of authority? He's comparing a righteous believer's prayer to Elijah. Wow! Jesus, closing with the last two verses. Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Listen, every work that Jesus did, Jesus is saying, whoever believes, no qualifications, no apostles, no, you got to live in the first, second, third century, none of that. You're just a believer. If you're a believer, you will do the same works Jesus did. And he says, greater works than these. Listen, and then he says, whatever you ask for in my name, this my Father will do, that the Son will be glorified. And again, it's not just saying, I just ask this in the name of Jesus. No. You have to ask this totally submitted to Jesus, totally led by Jesus, totally under the authority of Jesus, totally in the path that Jesus wants you to be in. And there has to be a good reason why you're asking it, and it's usually something the Spirit wants to be removed. In the name of Jesus is very similar to, you ever hear the term stop in the name of the law? Like stop in the name of the law. This came to us from Great Britain. The old police officers of Great Britain would always say, stop in the name of the law. And it was a revision from stop in the name of the king. So if somebody was trying to apprehend you, they would say, stop in this name. In this name, you're called to stop. What was it saying? The guy saying stop had no authority. He's just a normal guy with a police officer outfit on. But when he says stop in the name of the king, he had the king behind him. He had the kingdom behind him. Do you understand that? So when I say do this in Jesus' name, I have the authority of heaven behind me. I'm saying stop in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings. And this requires spiritual sensitivity, to put it that way. Here's another example, because I hear a lot of people, well, I bind that in Jesus' name, and I bind this in Jesus' name, and I bind that in Jesus' name. You don't really even know what you're talking about, do you? Here's what's really similar to that. Ministers say this usually at a wedding ceremony in which they are going to bind two people together in marriage. You're going to be bound in marriage. They say, by the power invested in me by the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I now pronounce you husband and wife. God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I have bound you by the authority invested in me That's the binding. You can't do that just with anything. I can't go around with people and just say, by the authority vested in me, I bind you. No, you can't do that, right? You have to be led of the Spirit to do that kind of thing. To bind people together. To bind this or to bind that. But it's important to follow the Spirit. Peter followed the Spirit. And Jesus said, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It wasn't Peter that the church was built upon. It was the revelation of who Christ was. It was the name of Christ. It was the authority of Christ. When we do stuff in Jesus' name, led by Jesus' Spirit, all heaven stands behind us, and the gates of hell would never prevail against it. That's why I'm so careful to do stuff that I know God is authorizing and behind. Closing with this one scripture, because you need to know this. The Bible says that you are the workmanship of God. You were created in Christ Jesus. You were created for a reason. Just to live your own life any way you wanted to. No, it says you were created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. God has good works for you to do, that when you get to heaven, He'll ask you, hey, did you do those good works? And I hope you don't say, I don't even know what the good works were. I hope you're able to say, yeah, that good work that you told me to do, yeah, I carried that out. Well, what about the obstacles that stood in your way? No, I remembered the faith, and I had those mountains removed. The challenge is to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily. The challenge is to walk in faith in the authority of heaven. Not in my personal faith, but I have total faith in heaven. When I do things for heaven, in heaven's name, that there's authority. And I can remove any obstacle.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.